I wish that you would be able to feel the love that I have for each of you and for the privilege and the honor of being in our Heavenly Father's house with you this morning. I felt the good spirit as soon as I walked in the door, so I know that he's here and he's waiting on our response. I wear this mask just out of love for you. I don't want to take any chance on any of you getting any kind of illness from me. I also, a few have commented to me about the small number that's here this morning, but that's okay. It's truly okay. I love being around God's people, whether it be 10 or whether it be 300 or just one. I love being around God's people. And so it is we find ourselves here this morning, don't we? And as I said before, it is truly an honor to be in your presence. I think about this branch often, not just when I talk to my sisters. And I pray for you. And I pray for your priesthood. And I pray that this whole pandemic COVID mess will be over sooner than later, so that we can meet together more freely. As I was preparing for this morning, at South Chrysler, where we attend, South Chrysler Restoration Branch, we have monthly themes. We have yearly themes and monthly themes. And I found it quite interesting that the Lord would orchestrate an opportunity for me to be here that fits in with the theme that he has for South Chrysler. Our yearly theme is to prepare your souls. And the monthly theme is prepare your souls for your Redeemer draweth nigh. And truly, that's why we're here this morning. That's exactly why we're here. And for a scripture reading, I'd like to read from Isaiah, the 59th chapter, and just verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and that's important, unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. So that's repentance. And that's why we're here. And to start off with, I'd like to share with you something that took place at my home a while back. I was at my house, and I have a special place at my house, like I suspect a lot of you do, where I can go and I can just be with the Lord. It's a quiet, special place. It's where I can just have some quiet time, some study time, some time for some meditating on what he is trying to reveal to me through his holy scriptures. And my particular place is out on my patio. And it's a concrete patio with a patio table. And it overlooks a park-like setting. And it's quiet except for the birds and the squirrels. And I find it to be just an absolute wonderful place for me to seek to be in the presence of my Heavenly Father. And it's not uncommon for me to rise early in the morning and find myself out just seeking the Lord at this particular place. And I'd like to share with you an experience that happened to me less than a month ago in part of my preparation. And I was in my quiet place, and I was making preparation to preside over one of our pastoral group prayer services. South Chrysler is a very large congregation, and so our current pastor has brought forth the concept of having small pastoral groups. So in our pastoral group, we have prayer service once a month together, and they may be 10 to 12 there for that, which is wonderful because we've received tremendous blessings. People have participated in the small group that they wouldn't when they're with the 300 plus of a regular prayer service that we'd have at South Chrysler. So we've really been blessed with that. So I was making preparation. I'm the only active elder in that group as well. And I was in deep, humble prayer to the Lord. And I'm sure you know that kind of experience where His Spirit touches your heart and it grabs hold of your heart. And you recognize that He is near. That it's just not you sitting outside on a patio. You recognize that He is near. And then you kind of just melt into His presence. And you've had those experiences. I know you have. And under that influence, then the words of praise just flow from your heart and straight to your mind and straight towards that good Spirit from whence they came. And the thoughts that morning that the good Spirit was giving me had nothing to do with what I was preparing for. The prayer service, I told you, had nothing to do with that. He had something else that He wanted me to meditate on and to think on. And such was the case for me on that particular morning. And my thoughts were turned towards a certain family member that I have. And I had thought that this particular family member had lost focus on the Lord. And I was aware of some bitterness that he felt towards the Lord. And his Father in heaven was no longer the top priority in his life. And perhaps he had lost that hope. Perhaps that he just didn't recognize the answer to his prayers as the Lord was answering them. Maybe he was blinded by his human desires and instead of focusing on God. And this man is not a bad person at all. It's just the opposite. He is a very good person. He just no longer has the desire to serve or to call upon the Lord. And that was the focus of my prayer that morning for him. And I prayed that the Holy Spirit would increase his desire for his Heavenly Father, that his desire for God would be restored to what it once was. And as I neared the end of that prayer, the good Spirit touched me even stronger than before. And I became aware, and I felt for just a moment, the depth of love that Christ felt for him. And I'd recognized that love because I'd felt it before. And it came in such great power that it caused me to weep with joy. And I enjoyed that love for a few moments. And then the Holy Spirit released me from that love so that he could share with me the sadness of what eternal life would be void of that love. If this man chose not to return back to Jesus with his full purpose of heart. And again, I wept, but this time it wasn't for joy. The sadness that I felt was what they both would feel. The man himself for not being in the presence of his Heavenly Father for eternity, and settling for something far less. But I also felt the sadness that Jesus felt. And it's hard to put into words and it's hard to explain, but I felt both of their experiences at the same time. And as I shared in the sadness of that particular moment, the Lord gave me an understanding of what a terrible tragedy of wasted time spent apart from each other. That was the sadness that Jesus felt. And that man could have so much more. And the Lord was willing to give so much more. And in that sadness, in that pain of the sadness that I felt that Jesus was experiencing, he was longing for this man's companionship, just like he longs for our companionship, to bless him with mercy. And I can tell you that sadness was almost more than I could bear as a human. So it made my prayer that much more intense. And I felt the urgency of sharing that experience with him. And I was also given to know by our Heavenly Father that it was not too late, that Jesus had a desire to reclaim him back into the fold. And because of the most precious gift of agency, Jesus would not force him to return, but Jesus would take him back. But the man had to learn, and he had a desire to live above the world. And he had to return with the steadfastness in his desires for a relationship with God and not let the opportunity to assist this great work that we're all involved in, not to let this work pass. And you can find in section 142 of the Doctrine and Covenants this scripture that weighs heavy on every priesthood member's mind. And it's section 142, 5b. I'm going to start with 5a. The hopes of my people and the goals of my church, while not yet fully realized, and at times and to many seem distant, are closer to realization than many recognize. It is yet day when all can work. The night will come when, for many of my people, opportunity to assist will have passed. I don't want that to happen to this individual. I don't want it to happen to you. I don't want to let opportunities pass me by other as well. So I ended my time with the Lord after a bit, and I pondered this for a couple days. And at the Wednesday night prayer service, this experience was confirmed to me. The speaker was sharing about the parable of the fig tree, and you all know that. It's found in Matthew and Mark, and you know the story. When Christ passed by the fig tree on one of his travels, it was green and it was leafed out, and it was a good tree, but it had no fruit. It was not living up to its measure of creation. It was not doing what the Lord had created it to do. It was not offering the Lord what the Lord needed that morning. And because of that, when the Lord passed by the next day, what happened? The tree had withered and died. So could the same experience apply to each and every one of us here today? Are we living up to our measure of creation? Are we putting God first every moment of every day? Or do we just give him a little bit of time, a little bit of thought, a little bit of worship? Or do we give him our best? I'd like to tell you that in my life, every moment of every day is spent near to my Heavenly Father, but that's not the case. And that saddens me greatly. I let the things of this world distract me from a full daily fellowship with the Lord. Maybe you do too. But that's what brings me to this table this morning. I often recognize that in my life that I'm not living up to what the Lord expects of me, or even what he created me to do, with all the gifts and the talents that he's blessed me with. And that because of that sin that I allow in my life, that it separates us. And then I find myself in those moments breaking the first and the greatest commandment. And I don't put him first. When I don't, then the result is I'm not bearing fruit. I'm like that tree that had no value to the Lord. And maybe you find yourself in that same situation. And maybe, like me, you need a Savior. Well, you know, this is the day that that all can change. We've partaken of the sacrament, so every one of us at this very moment are clean. And we can free ourselves from the bondage of sin, that sin that controls our lives. And if there is ever truth in any words here on earth, that is it. We can free ourselves of the bondage of sin by repenting and letting our Heavenly Father know that we'll do better. So today, this very day, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ desires to set us free from that bondage. And you know what? He has the power to do that. And that power was given him of his Father. And his Father is our Father. So by coming to him as you have with true repentance and bringing forth the only acceptable sacrifice that he will have, that of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he'll forgive us of our sin, no matter how small or how big, because all sin is the same to him. There are no big sins. There are no small sins. They're just sins. And they separate us from our Heavenly Father. From Romans, the 8th chapter, the 1st verse, it says, "Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So, saints, this truly is your Independence Day. And you should be the happiest people on the face of the earth because you're free of the bondage of sin at this very moment. And will be free until you decide otherwise, because your sins have been forgiven. And you now have a new clean heart. And because of that clean heart, you can bear fruit. So if that's your desire, is to bear the fruit of his love toward other people that you know, family members, friends, maybe a stranger at the grocery store, when you just say something that might brighten their day, if that comes from the love of your heart, that's fruit. And because you've brought that sacrifice of repentance, you are repentant people. And that is so important, because without a repentant people, his kingdom cannot be a place of refuge, because God cannot abide there. If you would have gathered into this sanctuary and not made any preparation, just showed up and said, "I'm going to take the sacrament," been of no value to you. You'd have eaten a piece of bread and some grape juice. Been no value to you. So that brings us back to where we are, doesn't it? God cannot abide sin in any degree. Puts it back on us. We must repent and we must be forgiven. And he can do that. And if sin is anything that separates us from our God, and we know that's true, we must repent. And we know that repentance is not just a simple saying, "I'm sorry." Repentance actually means to change. To change. That's what repentance means, to change. Means to change and forsake that old and commit to the new with a real sincere commitment. So we no longer engage in those same sins we did when you walked into the sanctuary. And if that commitment is sincere enough and strong enough, Scripture teaches us that we'll even lose that desire to sin. And I want that. I need that. But we have to be willing to make the change in our life. You know, breaking God's commandments, and our scriptures are full of it. You know, it's not just the Ten Commandments. It's when God says, "Do this or do that." Those are his commandments. But when you break those commandments, it's just like slapping him in the face. And then you say, I'm sorry. And maybe at that moment you really do mean it. But then again, you do it again. And again, and again. And if that's the case, then you really haven't committed to your repentance, have you, like you should? And I've learned that through true repentance and true commitment to that repentance, that I'm not destined to repeat the sins I have before. But without the commitment, I find myself failing. We must turn from our way of doing things and turn to God's way of doing things. And you know, often that's a hard thing to do. But if you want a personal relationship with God, you must be willing to change. You know, we were created after God's image. So when you look at yourself, do you look like God? Sometimes people try to make God look like them instead of the way he should be. Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And you've been blessed with the Holy Spirit at your confirmation. You've been given that most precious gift, that gift of power to make those necessary changes in your life and to strengthen you and to and to rid our lives of those things that they take our time and our energy and our talents away from the things of God. And the kind of repentance I'm talking about takes spiritual discipline. It takes prayer. It takes public prayer. It takes private prayer. It takes prayer from the heart. And it doesn't matter what you say. You don't have to use big fancy words. Prayer is just talking to God. You're sharing your heart to his. That's what you're doing. So if you have a problem, share it with him. If you're overjoyed about something, share it with him. Let him enjoy that joy as well. Also fasting, our brother mentioned fasting earlier. Fasting is so important. And fasting is not just giving up something. Fasting is giving up something with a purpose. And your purpose should be that you might have that relationship with your Heavenly Father. And if you're looking at fasting as something you have to do out of obligation, then you need to take a better look at fasting. I can tell you through experience that fasting brings great joy. It shouldn't be a burden. Fasting should be a joy because of the closeness that you feel with your Heavenly Father as you ponder the things that he places upon your heart. And also the scripture study, which was mentioned before as well. Scripture study should be more than just opening your book and reading, okay? If you really take a small section and you go to your Heavenly Father and say, and I have to do this often, Lord, I don't understand this. What does this mean? How is this going to apply in my life or that I should share with others? And the Lord will work with you. The Holy Spirit will make these things known to you if you pray and if you fast and if you sincerely seek him. You know, the goal of our scripture study would be increased spiritual strength, to be the kind of person on the outside that we desire to be on the inside. You know, to be at the highest level we can be and not be satisfied with just being a good person or just being a righteous person, but to truly become a friend of God so that God could say, that's a person after my own heart. And the scripture teaches us that David said that, and David was recognized at that. Can you imagine what that would be like to be considered a true friend of God? Well, it's available to all of us. So how do we get there? How do we be a true friend of God? What would it take? Well, the Olympics are on, and if you were an Olympic athlete, you would practice, and then you would practice, and then you would practice, wouldn't you? And then after a while, you would have the spiritual strength and the endurance to achieve your goal. And every good and successful athlete knows that physical strength is only a part of having success. There's a mental component as well, isn't it? And that could be a spiritual component too. You have to really know what you're doing. You have to learn your sport, not just casually, but fully. And if you want to be successful, you have to train your mind. When your body says, I want to quit, and your mind says, no, just a little farther. Perhaps you've experienced that before. You have to train your body. You have to train your mind. And if you put the work into your body, and you practice, and you practice, and you practice, then you need to truly commit yourself and apply a strong mind. And then you have to determine that the cost is not too high. All of those athletes that get up and practice at 4:30 in the morning and swim 50 laps or whatever they swim, got to have a strong mind. But just as important, they got to be committed, don't they? They got to be committed to what they want to achieve. And you have to figure it out. Am I willing to pay that price? I can tell you if that athlete's there at 4:30 in the morning, he's willing to pay that price, or she. Well, if you do that, if they do that, then they have a chance to succeed. It's not a guarantee. Because he's out at 4:30 in the morning swimming those laps, it's not guaranteed that he's going to win an Olympic medal, is it? No. He only has a chance to be the winner on that platform and hear his national anthem played. But saints, what if you're not an athlete? And what if that's not your goal? What if your goal is to be a righteous person? Well, the components are the same. Well, except for the luck part. Because what I'm talking about is a sure thing. First, you'll need to build up your spiritual strength to climb to the top. You know, the top is where God is. If you're going to be satisfied with climbing halfway up, that's not where God is. Your commitment needs to be all the way to the top. And you need to have good health. That's important. That's why he gave us section 86. A sickly person is not of value in sharing the gospel, is it? Because if you're not healthy, then you are more focused on your illness and not coming to the Lord. And like an Olympic athlete, you have to be willing to put the work in. And that takes discipline, real discipline. And discipline, like change, is hard to do. Sometimes really hard to do. So you must train yourself for more spiritual strength. And you must commit, fully commit. And then work to increase your spiritual discipline. And like that athlete, you must also practice. You know, if you read the scriptures just at Sunday school class, you're probably not going to grow to the level that you need. You're probably not going to grow to the level that God wants or that the inner you wants. And it takes real prayer, the kind of prayer where you open your heart to your Heavenly Father. That intimate time that you spend with a friend, it's just to talk. To open your heart to his. And just as important, saints, is the listening part. You don't just go in prayer and say, God, I want this. I want you to do that. I don't know this. I need help with this. Pray. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for what he's done in your life. Ask him to help you with the problems in your life. Ask him to overcome the sin so that you will gain strength from that. And listen to him. You know, the Book of Mormon tells us about quality prayer. Let me share with you from Moroni. It's chapter 7, verse 5. And this is what we were talking about a little bit earlier. For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except he do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. For behold, it is not counted unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man bringeth evil, giveth a gift, he doth it grudgingly. Wherefore, it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained that gift. Wherefore, it is counted evil unto him. And likewise, also it is counted evil unto man if he shall pray, and not with real intent of heart. Yea, and it profiteth him nothing. For God receiveth none such. Wherefore, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. So when you say your prayers, pray from your heart, pray with real intent. It's so important that we do that. You know, when you read your scriptures, it's not just reading, but ask God so that you can really understand what you're trying to read, and he will reveal that to you. The Holy Spirit, that's part of the Holy Spirit, is so willing to do that for you, to help you, because God knows your weaknesses, and God also knows your desires. So if you make all this preparation, you do all this, and you are climbing up towards where you really want to be, and if you do these things, then your reward is not going to be a gold medal, but it's going to be rather closeness with your Heavenly Father, which is more precious than gold, isn't it? You will have forgiveness of sin and the joy that comes with that freedom. Like this morning, each of you have prepared for the sacrament service, and you have spent time, repenting of the mistakes you've made, and committing yourself to be a different person than when you walked in. And you have brought those sincere desires to your Heavenly Father. And again, that should give you such joy. This should be the happiest day of your life, because you're free from that bondage. And you should know that today you're right with God. So that time spent fasting, that time spent in scripture study, and that time spent in prayer is well worth what you put into it. And if you do that, then you're going to have the desire within you to share that joy with everyone you meet when you leave this sanctuary. They should be able to look at your face, and they should be able to see that there's joy in your heart. Sometimes I've had people ask me, "Why are you so happy today?" There's your opportunity to bear fruit. And that's what God wants us to do. And you just, simple thing, just share with them how God has touched your life. And we should always be prepared for that on everyone we meet. My wife and I were on vacation earlier this year, and we went through a particular checkout line, and I could tell that this lady was struggling. So I tried to say a few kind, nice words to her, and she listened, and then she stopped. She said, "Thank you, I needed that so much. This is a bad day." I said, "This can be a good day." So it brought a big smile to her face and made a difference. And it was easy to do. You just have to be ready for those moments, don't you? And there's a reason why we are like we are. You know, and I've shared with my sisters, I'm a big fan of the TV series that's out now called The Chosen. Do you know The Chosen? Have you watched it? It's wonderful. And there's a part in the very beginning where Mary Magdalene is talking to Nicodemus. And he wants to know, "You're different. I saw who you were before, now you're different." And he says, "Why is that? I have to know." He had to know. And she responded to him, "I was one way, and then I was completely different. And the thing in between was him," referring to Christ. Can you say the same thing? Yes, you can. The thing that separates you from other people is your love from your Heavenly Father, because it takes away your desire to sin and to be precious for him. We have this lifetime, just this one short lifetime, for us to prepare for an eternity with God, an eternity that lasts forever and ever. You won't be able to repeat this earth. You get it right this time, the best that you can, with God's help, and you're preparing to meet your Heavenly Father and to spend eternity with Him. And if you will do that, if you will take those times and look for those opportunities to share your testimony of His love with other people, that becomes a testimony. Like I just shared a testimony with you by this lady's reaction. Now it's her job to share with other people, right? But both of those testimonies will glorify God, and that makes for a really good day. You know, sometimes in our lives we have situations that are trials. Sometimes they're just tests. And these tests aren't for God to see how you react. These tests are for you to see how you react. You know, it's like a measuring stick for you. If somebody cuts you off on the freeway, that's a test. Do you want to pay him back? Do you want to get in front of him and slow down? And I used to. But I've tried looking at things different, you know? And one thing that I noticed was that if he cut me off and he goes to the exit, I'm grateful. Maybe he would have missed his exit. Maybe he would have had to go down another 3 miles and maybe he didn't have much gas. I don't know. So to me, that anger's gone. You know, I don't have to be mad at him. He was doing what he needed to do at the moment. Didn't hurt me one bit, did it? Might cost me an extra 5 seconds. I got 5 seconds. So that becomes fruit to share. Your testimonies are fruit to share with other people because there's strength in that. You're providing what Jesus needs you to do at that particular moment to that particular person. Do you think of all 15 checkout lines that it was just a sheer chance that I went to that one lady's line? I don't think so. I think Holy Spirit directed me there so that I could bear witness to that lady. And He does that for us every day. So you need to be valiant in your testimonies when you have opportunities to do that. And then you share them at prayer service so that it strengthens the other people around you. You know, if you think back on prayer services you've attended in the past, and some of those have really made a difference in your life, haven't they? Sometimes it's taken a bad day and turned it around. And you could do that for someone else. And if you do that, think about this. You know, the scriptures teach us what joy you'll have if you are an influence for good in someone's life. What joy will you have if that person has a better day and goes on to be a more righteous person, and you have the opportunity in paradise someday to come across them and you have your conversation together? I mean, what joy will you have because of the influence you are on a few moments of your time? And you can do that. So I want to leave you with something to think about. And it's a prayer that I found written, and I really don't recall who the author was. It wasn't me. But I truly believe that this prayer was inspired by God. And I do know that it should be our daily prayer. It's called Monday Morning Prayer, and I'm going to leave you with this so you can think about this. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day of life, a day to enjoy all you have worked so hard to prepare for me, your servant. If you would be willing, please go before me today and every day this week as I go about the tasks that you have set before me. May I do them with joy in my heart, however difficult they may be. You have delivered me through storms in the past and have never failed me or left me alone. You are my strength, dear Lord. Through you, I can do all things. Help me put you first in all things. Help me to love my neighbor. Help me to keep all the commandments I've been taught.